Surely it is not I, Lord. Surely it is not I, Lord. I think those words of the apostles at the Last Supper that we heard are full of hubris, pride, and denial. Not so much personal denial of Jesus, although we know Peter did that three times. It's more of a denial over a sense of sin, a denial of their fallen nature, and a denial of their capacity to cause great harm to God. Surely it is not I, Lord. Those are the famous last words of every sinner, from the Last Supper all the way to today. All of us in various times in life have said, surely it is not I, Lord, and then surely we do, whatever it might be. We tell ourselves, oh, we're going to be different. I'm not a fallen creature. I can, you know, achieve perfection on my own. Surely it is not I, Lord. I'm not going to be a great sinner who causes you distress and pain. And yet we know all of us, every last one of us, contributes to the suffering and death that our Lord endured. The Bishop Fulton Sheen once very famously wrote, he said, if I had been less proud, that road to Calvary would have been a little bit shorter. If I had been more humble, maybe one of those thorns wouldn't have pierced the scalp of Jesus. If I had been more merciful, maybe our Lord would have been scourged one less time than what he was. Every one of us, by our sinfulness, contributes to the suffering of Jesus. And all the times, again, that we say, surely it is not I, Lord, our Lord shows us the cross and throws our denial out of the window. He doesn't do this to shame us, though. He wants us to see what he has gone through to save us from our defiance and rebellion. He wants us to know the love behind the cross so that we might know, even in our imperfection, even in our frailty, even when we say, oh, surely it is not I, Lord, and yet inevitably we fall, we might know we have a God who has died for us and paid the ultimate price so that you and I might be drawn closer to the God who created us and who loves us unconditionally. I want to invite all of you over the course of this week to join us, especially Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil, for the three services of the sacred Paschal Triduum, the three holiest days of our year. If you think about it, none of those three are holy days of obligation, even though the Vigil is, of course, part of Easter and fulfills the Easter one. But none of those three are holy days of obligation in and of themselves. But they are so much more than that. They're the holiest days of our year. And if we want to celebrate them properly, I dare say we should be here to celebrate them with Jesus, to journey with him to Calvary, to be with him in the upper room on Holy Thursday as he institutes the Holy Eucharist, the gift of his love, to venerate the cross on Good Friday, to go before our Lord in contrition and sorrow and ask for his pardon, and then to be with him at that beautiful first dawn of Easter, at the Easter Vigil, when a single candle is brought into a pitch black church, we proclaim the light of Christ, thanks be to God. This is a beautiful mystery that will unfold for us over the course of this next week. I want to invite all of you to participate with us. It is the most important event in human history. We are privileged to celebrate it every year. Let us never forget what our Lord has done for us. Let us participate in these mysteries with hearts filled with contrition and sorrow, but also with hope and joy as we await the resurrection.